I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Rufus Wainwright is touring behind his most recent CD, Out of the Game, part of a creatively diverse path that's taken him from a Grammy-nominated recreation of a classic Judy Garland concert in Carnegie Hall to the debut of his first opera to a concert film in tribute to his mother, Kate McGarrigle. While in town for his performance at the Jacob Concert Hall in Eugene, he stopped by the KLCC studios. Welcome, Rufus.
Hello.
Well, let's talk about Out of the Game first, since it's your most recent project. It's pop song structures, but on top of these sweeping sort of layered arrangements with lyrical and sonic twists that to me are anything but straight in the pop side of things. When I hear the production on this, what this makes me think of is Harry Nilsson records from the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great compliment. he's one of the all-time legends. I did try with this last record to simplify the structure somewhat, but you know the apple never falls too far from the tree. So I am drawn to a more kind of elaborate presentation of my music. But I think what we did try to do with, and this was with Mark Ronson's help, who produced the album. We wanted it to sound as if it was somewhat off the cuff, and so with members of the Dap Kings and some other friends like Sean Lennon or Nels Klein from Wilco, we just sort of sat around and played together, and a lot of the takes and stuff are without, you know, too much editing or overdubs and stuff. So it's I still wanted an organic feel to it all.
Mark Ronson is an interesting choice as a producer, a guy who's worked with some very large voices, from Amy Winehouse to Adele and so on. What made him the right choice for you for a producer?
Well, he's just so glamorous and fun to be with, and lives an extremely high end kind of jet set lifestyle, and so that's always fun to be a part of briefly. But that being said, he's also such a fan of high quality anything, you know, be it singers or instrumentalists or just the general sound of records. I think a lot of this stems from his work as a DJ. He just really, it's got to be good to get his goat. So he's, and he really disregards any kind of fad at the moment, and focuses on what works at that time, considering the artists he's working with. So it's I don't know. He's very confident in many ways.
You have such a deep background in opera and such a deep passion for opera as well. I would imagine that even when making a pop record, some influence of opera has to creep in. Was that the case?
Yeah.
On this
well,
record?
I mean, opera. One must remember that opera was the popular music of its day for a very long time, about 100 years at least. So a lot of those arias were, you know, hit songs, and many of the, you know, hits after opera, you know, faded from prominence, used the same tricks and devices. So I think it's all kind of based on the same potion. But on the other hand, yes, it also gives me a little bit of a secret stash to pull from, and certain chord structures that people wouldn't necessarily think of, and does, you know, bring attention to the piece. So it's a bit of both. It's very popular and also very mysterious.
After listening to opera for a lifetime and really immersing yourself in it, your own first opera came out a few years ago, Prima Donna. What was that experience like to turn around and create an opera?
It was amazing. I mean, I around that time, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. That's Kate McGarrigle. She was an incredible singer-songwriter. And Anna McGarrigle is still with us and is still incredible. But anyway, so that was all going on in the background, and so by the time I hooked into orchestrating the piece and really fleshing out the drama and working with these incredible singers who can, you know, sing circles around most people, it was the perfect instrument to drown my sorrows in and really lose myself in what was a very tragic period. So, I was once again saved by opera.
And you've been commissioned to do another opera by now, correct?
I have been. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm not talking too much about it in too much detail. But yes, I have been commissioned, and I am going to write it, and it'll take a while. I'm not expecting to really premiere it until 2018, so there'll be plenty of conversations down the line about that new opera.
You've done a couple of different tribute projects in very different ways in recent years. Obviously, the one for your mother, Kate McGarrigle, must have been very affecting for you. I would think that it would not only change you personally and help you process that difficulty, but change you musically as well. Was that the case?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my mom was really one of the greatest both, you know, writers and singers and instrumentalists of her era. And the instant she passed away, both Martha and I realized immediately that, you know, we had a tremendous legacy to uphold and to also, you know, bask in. So it wasn't, you know, and I guess being in this business for so long, you just really know a good song when you hear one. And here we had, you know, dozens of them, and so it just made sense on so many levels to do these tribute shows, and I know that we'll be singing those songs for the rest of our lives, and I do think that Kate was somewhat underappreciated by a mainstream audience, so it is a good we do feel responsible for promoting her material, because it's just worth it.
I think perhaps she's best known for songs and singing and all of that, but she was a marvelous guitar player.
Yeah, no, she was a great guitar player, great piano player, great guitar player, fantastic banjo player, even played the fiddle. So she was, kind of a Shiva of musical ability.
A very different tribute than what you did with Judy Garland and recreating a particular Judy Garland concert. What inspired you to take that particular concert back into new life?
Well, I'd always been a Judy Garland fan, especially since my generation being perhaps the last generation to not have to grow up without like a VCR or any kind of way of watching movies. You know, whenever a movie was on TV, it was a huge event. And of course, The Wizard of Oz was on once a year, and we'd always, you know, gather around the TV and watch it. So I was marked by that as a child. And then years later, you know, when I was after the Iraq War, we're really skipping down time alley here. I became super anti-American due to the atrocities of that decision, and really couldn't stand being in the U.S. At that point during the Bush years. But I had to be because I was working and so forth. And one of one of the most consoling, and perhaps even the only consoling aspect, was listening to that album, the Judy Garland 1961 album from Carnegie Hall, because it just reminded me of how great this country can be, and how, you know, positive and elegant and sophisticated and compassionate that the United States has the potential of. So it was sort of a tribute to that.
It seems like in many ways then that music has been as much of a healing force as a career thing for you in recent years.
Yeah. Well, I'm not able to draw too many distinctions between what's going on music wise in my inner self. Yeah. You know, even in our family, you know, whether it's my dad, Loudon, or Martha, or my aunts, we all write songs about each other, and certainly are afforded a kind of, third language, I guess, because we speak French too, to communicate with, and it gets pretty mixed up what's going on. But in the end of the day, you know, we compare bills and cook dinner and clothe ourselves, which is, I suppose, what you're supposed to do as a human being.
It does seem to be a necessity in any way.
Yeah.
You know, this tour includes extended family, too, since Lucy Wainwright Roach is opening this tour. Why don't you introduce her music to us?
Lucy Wainwright Roach is my half-sister, also from another branch of this enormous folkocracy we've witnessed in this era. Her mother is Suzzy Roach, who's from a great band called The Roaches. Three sisters, as well as my mother and her sisters. So she's an incredible voice and very different from, I think, Martha and I in her approach. I mean, we tend to be more kind of dramatic and very boisterous and showing a lot of leg and stuff. Lucy tends to go more for the she tends to bring people in with her. With a lot of subtlety and a lot of this sort of beautiful plain quality in her singing that's very, very disarming, and she writes about, you know, very simple. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's as far as I'm going to go. But she's great.
Yeah.
So it is kind of different from Martha and I.
In the live performances on this tour, how are you representing some of these songs when they have such large arrangements on the studio CD? Are you changing them much, simplifying them on this tour?
No. I mean, what one hears are the bones of the material, and you know, being from a troubadour tradition, it's vitally important that you're able to perform your material alone or with an orchestra. You know, you have to be flexible and. And I even remember, you know, when I first started out in the business years ago in California for my first album, I was, I was never afraid of whether I'd be successful or not, only because I knew that through my parents, who had experienced a fair bit of success, but also, you know, had it taken away from them in a lot of ways and had to, you know, go back to the drawing board and just, you know, play gigs and small venues. I don't know. There was something comforting in the fact that I knew how that works, and that has to do with being able to sing your songs alone, essentially. It's a kind of a survival tactic.
You probably had a much more realistic picture of the music business than just about anybody growing up in the family, seeing that from so many perspectives on the high and the low side. Both.
Yeah. No, I mean, even if you look at, I mean, I know a lot of other kids of, you know, whether it's Sean Lennon or Chris Stills or Adam Cohen, I mean, all these people who've really grown up in the business. But I would definitely say that my perspective was far more realistic and far more kind of attuned to the market forces that most people deal with. We never made too much money. So we did, you know, we survived and I think we've also sort of prospered of late, because, you know, it's now come that time when for all of us in the family, we you know, our songs have been around for a while and it's looking like they've stuck around and that people remember them and the shows that we've done have had an impact. So it's a nice period.
That's quite an accomplishment in a business that keeps trying to reinvent itself and seems to keep wanting to reinvent itself in ways that don't pay the people involved.
it's a bit confusing.
Well, in the end, after all the creative projects, I was thinking this morning about how all of us that are creative need to find time away from music as well. We need to find silence. I would imagine that's a really important part of your creative process.
Well, driving around Oregon's been nice. It's a hell of a beautiful state. We were up in Portland, and then we drove down to Edmonds? No. Medford, and then back up here to Eugene. So we've seen a lot of nature, and you know, just, you know, turning off all the music and stepping out of the car and looking at a tree can be pretty helpful.
Can really refresh your ears, yes.
Especially when it's got moss on it.
Yeah. Oh, you have such a diverse body of work that's already developed. When you think about where you go from here, do you know what's next?
Well, I mean, having dipped my little toe into the operatic realm, it would be churlish of me not to continue that process. You know, it's sort of, this is everybody who knows opera knows that, you know, it's not till your third or fourth one that you really kind of have a sense of what you're doing stylistically. So I'll continue that battle. I also, you know, wouldn't mind being a good father. You know, I have a daughter who's 2.5, and being a great husband. I, you know, married my partner last August. Not this a year. It's been a year, and I, you know. I don't know. My waistline is doing okay. So there's a lot to take care of.
There is a lot to take care of in this life. Well, we appreciate you coming to spend a few minutes with us here today.
Thank you.
Rufus Wainwright touring behind his recent CD, Out of the Game, with Lucy Wainwright Roach, opening at the Shedd Institute's Friday, October 25th at the Jaques Concert Hall. For more information on the diverse creative works of Rufus Wainwright, visit rufuswainwright.com. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.